the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everybody. Today on Lifetime Planning, we have a special guest with us here today. I am Aaron Wiegman, Senior Wealth Advisor here at Financial Sense. And today joining us is Mike Webb. Mike is a 30-year consummate professional in the financial services industry, helping business owners with various tax-efficient strategies for their estate and business owners. He understands the needs of, you know, their businesses and how they want to transition into the future, into retirement. And so his current role is the Chief Marketing Officer at Business Transition Advisors. And his role is to educate professionals like myself in helping their business owner clients learn more about ESOP strategies and the favorable tax benefits that are offered there. So Mike, welcome here today. Myself as a wealth advisor for the firm here, I mean, we deal with clients of all different shapes and sizes, right? And so it's not as though, you know, for us being like the big picture type wealth advisor, it's not as though we can wind up getting into the weeds and be the specialists in every single area. A lot of times, you know, we have to bring in folks like yourselves if we do have that business owner who is looking at transitioning from their business and they have absolutely no idea how to do that. So, you know, for us being able to work with someone like yourself, that can really give us that expertise to help them with that problem that they need to solve.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. We work with mainly financial advisors, wirehouses, anybody that is working in the business owner marketplace and wanting to give their business owner another option instead of just having a private equity firm or whatever it might be as their only decision or option.
So I guess let's talk about that for a second. So, I mean, you know, we throw out that word business succession, business transition quite a bit, right? So what does that actually mean for a business owner? What is it? Why is that important?
You know, it almost means everything when it gets towards the end. You know, business owners get so caught up in running their business and don't really have the time to look at their exit or to look at the transition and if it's set up properly. So preparing and planning the transfer of your ownership and your management team, especially if they've been there as long as you have, those are really key steps when you're looking at transitioning your business. You got to make sure those are in place.
Yeah. And I guess, what are the typical options that people wind up going about with when it comes to transitioning their business? So if I would say a lot of people look at starting a business, but they don't really like look at it with the end in mind. So right. When you get to that end point, you know, what are the options that people typically wind up going through? Like, how do I wind up getting rid of this business? How do I actually transition into retirement?
Yeah, you know, and depending on the type of business you are, will depend on, you know, the options that are available, right? So if I'm just looking, let's just take your standard business out there, small business, and he could either look at an as-like business that maybe that wants to come in and buy his company out. And maybe just, you know, that's going on a lot. Selling his business to a third party, private equity firm. I would say that's more the standard that's out there. Or if you have a family business, usually it's passing it on to them. And can they do it? Can your family buy out you? You know, these are the things you need to look at. And the other one is an ESOP plan, an employee stock ownership plan. And that depends on the makeup, whether or not your business isn't the right fit and you've got the employees that are part of it that you care about them. One that I don't really recommend, but liquidation. Some people have to liquidate their business.
If you just need to bow out and there's no viable option to actually like sell out of it, right?
Exactly. You know, or there's the IPO option, which, you know, not a lot of people have that option to become an IPO, but you know, that's a possibility. And that's probably usually for larger companies.
Someone in an extreme growth phase, probably.
Yeah, and have high multiples. Yeah. I would say selling your business, passing to your family members, management buyout. I mean, these are all the kind of the options you have, but most of them just look at a private equity firm or another business buying them out when they don't look at ESOP plans. And they should look at it because there's heavy tax advantages.
Yeah. So, okay, high level. Speak to me like I know absolutely nothing about this, right? What is an employee stock ownership plan?
You know, there's a saying there when you look at ESOPs. If you have the ability to use the government's money to buy you out of your fair market value of your business, how would you feel about that? So basically what you're doing is you're using the tax dollars that you're paying every single year, and you're giving your stock to an ESOP trust that is tax deductible. So basically, when you do an ESOP plan, you will have no taxes to pay, and you can be tax exempt going forward if it's structured correctly.
The key point here is structured correctly.
Structured correctly. And you got to make sure you value your employees and your legacy. If you started up a business quickly and you don't really have that much connection with your employees, I don't think an ESOP plan would be the right decision for you. That might be just selling your business. But if you built this company and you've put your heart, sweat, blood into this company to grow it to 25, 30 years, and you're ready to move on, and you care about what you've grown and the people you work around, you should definitely look at an ESOP as a possible option.
Okay, so how does that benefit, I guess, like two questions. How does that benefit the business owner, but how does it actually benefit the employees?
Well, it benefits the employees because now they're going to have, when you do an ESOP plan, they're going to have a beneficial ownership in this company over time. So when you sell your stock to an ESOP trust, basically over time, 15, 20, 30 years, they're going to be given a value of that in their ESOP retirement plans. Very similar to like a 401k.
Okay, so the ESOP is some form of a retirement plan, essentially.
Exactly. Think of it just like a 401k.
Okay.
You know, it's under the same rules, the 401A. So basically, you got to follow the same rules and the same regulations that a 401K is following.
And so because of that, that's probably some of the reasons why you get all those tax advantages by selling it to the ESOP trust.
Exactly. And that's why both parties, they love it. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. The ESOPs are not really going to, they're not going to go anywhere. It only gets better because they both see both sides of it, of the business owner and the employees both benefiting from this, not just the business owner. And you're not coming in with a outside firm, like a private equity firm. I mean, let's think of Twitter. I mean, Elon Musk comes in and look what happens. I think everyone knows. I don't have to get into the details.
Right.
But I think well over 10,000 employees got their walking
slashed right away.
Right. And if you don't want that in your company, then you maybe should consider just looking at the option of an ESOP plan.
Okay. And so for a business owner, what's the right kind of like business owner? What are the benefits to them? Like to consider this versus, you know, and not just the tax benefits, I guess, like, you know, what kind of business owner does it make sense for?
Someone who's not ready to move on immediately. Somebody who still wants to maintain control. And that's a big thing because I've had friends, and maybe you have as well, who have sold their business to a private equity. Next thing you know, they become an employee. With an ESOP, you have control. You set the guidelines. You could work there 3 years, 5 years, 10. We've had some that have been there 17 years. And you still get your benefits, your salaries, and whatever it might be. And you can still make decisions. Or you can come in and just come on the board, work with the board of directors once a month, give your decisions. It's up to you.
Well, you're basically setting yourself up for that exit at some point, whenever you want to call the shots.
Exactly, because you have a beneficial interest in making sure this company maintains growth, because as it maintains more growth, your ESOP value at the end becomes that much greater.
What might be the biggest hesitations to doing something like this? Like, what are the biggest misconceptions of doing an ESOP?
Well, I think one of the big ones is it's too expensive to set up an administrator. It's complicated. Okay. So you want to make sure you really work with an ESOP company, that basically a distribution company that can help you with the process of an advisor. So we're like an ESOP advisor. We take care of from A to Z, from the start all the way to the finish, which the finish doesn't really finish because we continue to do valuations for the business owner on whether it's their repurchase obligations. I don't have to get into the details, but all the aftermath when the ESOP plan is done.
So this certainly isn't something that is going to be like set it and forget it. This is going to be an ongoing administrative kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
So just understanding that, knowing going in, there's some work to be done every single year.
Exactly. And that's why our team is set to take care of that. I mean, we have three evaluators, CFAs on staff, and We've done over 430 ESOPs over the past 15 plus years, and we are still involved. We still go do employee meetings to make sure they understand what an ESOP is and what their retirement means and their hard work. You know, another misconception, it's only for large companies. That is not the case.
What would you say, the smallest size company you could wind up doing?
Well, I mean, because there are fees and stuff involved, I would say a business value of about 10 million plus.
Okay.
Okay. EBITDA of about 1.5-2 million. And you've got at least 15, 20 employees in your company. That's kind of a makeup when you should start looking. Now, there might be
it starts making sense.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And the taxes, you know, because the taxes you're going to save definitely outweigh the fees by far. It's no comparison. I think once an owner does it and they realize, wow, I don't know why I had this misconception that it was so expensive, when all of a sudden I don't have to pay taxes ever again. Right?
That tends to hit home pretty quickly.
Right. You know, another one would be probably a company struggling financially. Oh, go do an ESOP. They'll bail you out. Well, an ESOP can help in that situation, depending on the makeup of the company. It's worth looking at. COVID did affect a lot of business owners. There's no joke. So, but they could be a good fit to where, wow, you know what? I live in California. I live in a very tax heavy state. I might need to take a look at this. Imagine I don't have to pay taxes again.
Couldn't, you know, that financial burden that they're feeling with the taxes could give them a lot of relief to like put back into the business, right?
Exactly. 100%.
So just, I guess, in very simple form, how do you wind up setting up an ESOP? How is that structured? What are the moving parts that we have here?
First of all, you got to determine if it's the right fit.
Sure.
So in our process, we have a fact finder, which is free. So we have our financial advisor, whoever you might be working with, sends out and make sure you get that fact finder filled out correctly. 3 years financials, 3 years forecast. We get that. We evaluate it. We come back and go, you know what? This makes sense. You should look at the next step, which would be doing a preliminary analysis, and that's getting more into detail of the financials, doing a 5-year forecast, and just really trying to find, you know, the employees, the cash flow, looking at all the financials in detail. And that's where we get to the preliminary analysis, and then we get to a feasibility study. So those are the steps we take before we even exercise an ESOP plan. We have to make sure this fits.
So if you find that it fits, how do you wind up structuring it then?
Well, we basically set up an ESOP trust, get a trustee that is going to be that's going to be pretty much present in this trust.
Does the trustee, is that like a third party trustee kind of a thing?
Yeah. And it's one that we, because we've been doing these so long that we have trustees that are good fits for the company that we're working with, because all different companies are looking at ESOP plans. It's not just, you know, one particular type of company. So usually it's an S or C corp, but are an LLC that we can switch to a C corp or an S corp. And we don't need to get into the details of that, but
there's probably different tax benefits to either one of them as you're going through that.
Sure. The difficult ones, depending on the state, is if you're a company that deals in the malpractice.
Okay.
So those are very difficult to do ESOPs in certain states like California and stuff. So attorneys, CPAs, doctors, dentists, anybody that has this malpractice, you know, they have a company that is going to protect them from that. We'd have to look at a different type of structure to make sure that can even look at it, be an option.
So we have the trust set up. So then what?
We have the trust set up. Then we go get the financing. We get an ESOP attorney. We design the ESOP. We've figured out exactly what this business owner wants to do. We've looked at the cash flow. We want to see how soon we can pay off the senior debt, because we do financing.
Okay. There's financing and maybe some sort of a note or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. So there's going to be about 20 to 40% of the sale of the business is going to be done in financing. So we got to go make sure. We usually work with the bank of the company. But we have relationships with over 30 banks, some stronger than others. Get that taken care of. Set up the senior notes. Basically, we're going to buy out the value of that company that we've come down to terms of what this is going to sell for. So if it's a $20 million company, imagine that $20 million company getting it all over a period of time tax-free.
So you basically create the liquidity yourself inside of the company.
Exactly.
To get the value out of that and be able to have those shares then, like, over time be distributed to the rest of the employees of the company?
Well, they're not going to own particularly stock. They're having a beneficial ownership of the stock, right? So a value of the stock. They're not going to be stockholders. They just, they're the ones, and that's why it, you know, having enough employees and so forth is important in doing the ESOP plan. And we have to have appraisals, outside appraisals, and then we fund the ESOP. So, I mean, the steps are there. It might seem complicated on a flow chart that we usually show, but we kind of take all that noise and weeds out of it. We do all that work. We work with the CFA, the CFO, or the COO, or even the CEO. Sometimes it's mainly just the CFO of getting the financials and getting everything set so we can move forward. And then we do employee meetings after it's done to make sure the employees understand.
Because I would assume that's a pretty big mental shift for the employees to try and figure out, like, what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. They think their company's being sold.
Right.
Little do they know that they're going to be beneficial owners of the company now over time. And, you know, and that's basically done with, usually it's done where ones that are higher paid or the executives are usually get more shares each year than your average employee in the company, maybe one that hasn't been there as long. But, you know, a good example is Winco. Winco and Walmart compete, and Winco basically pays their employees more and charges less for their goods and service, their goods. And it's an ESOP plan. They're tax exempt. They have the ability to do that. And that's what setting up an ESOP allows you to do. Sometimes an ESOP company, it allows them to purchase other companies because it's done as a tax exempt company. They can bid a lot differently than a company that's taxable.
Well, so I guess, you know, as you wind up looking at an ESOP, if a company is structured as an ESOP, I mean, do you wind up finding that, you know, you could almost have like higher valuation multiples because you have stickier employees that are there? I mean, is that something that comes about?
Yeah, I think your multiple on the total purchase when it's all done with the warrants and and everything, yeah, your multiple does increase, especially if you got a company that's growing at moderate levels and even good. I mean, 2.5, we usually do a 2.5% growth rate every year. All of a sudden, I got a company that's doing 5 to 7. And that's just going to be that much greater to the business owner on the sell.
Sure.
At the end, because the senior debt is usually paid off in 3 to 5 years. And then we got to pay off the other portion, the senior note. So usually a business owner has all his money within 3 to 7 years.
Gotcha. And so then what is that? So the business itself winds up just like paying back that note just in tranches?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. After the senior debt is paid off.
What, I guess, very simply, because this could like go down a like big rabbit hole, but like, what would be the main, the tax benefits, I guess, for the business and the business owner as they're doing that?
Basically, a majority of the sell of the business is completely tax free. And if we set the structure up properly, depending on the company structure, we can turn that company to be tax exempt for the existence of that company going forward.
Because of how the ESOP is actually set up in that retirement plan?
Well, no, that's just what has to be done. Basically, it's electing, it's a section code 1042.
Okay.
You know, that anybody can Google, but we got elected to basically take the 1042 option. Very similar to like a 1031 in real estate. When you sell a piece of real estate to get to another one, and you don't have to pay taxes because you've taken the value, the profits of that real estate and moved it. It's very similar what a 1042 is.
Okay. So the business owner is swapping his shares to the ESOP, and then he has to take some sort of qualified type of exchange.
Yeah. I mean, it's an exchange that basically under the rules that allow the business owner to move his company to a tax exempt structure, as long as it's all done properly. And those are the options we give to the owner. Like, here's doing a 1042, here's not. But everything he sells of his stock, so you don't have to do a full.
It could be a partial, right?
Yeah. Minimum would be 30%.
Okay.
But we've done 30, 50, 75, 90. Sometimes we staircase it over time. Maybe we're just trying to buy out a partner. And the younger partner doesn't want to sell his shares yet, but the older one says, yeah, let's do this. So we only sell 50%. This is why all ESOPs are different. None of them are the same. They are structured to how the business owner's goals and wishes are going forward.
So I guess as we look at all these different types of employee stock ownership plans, what are some interesting case studies that you've worked on or some different businesses where this has really worked out? Maybe a couple of those. What's one of them that comes to mind?
Well, we did a HVAC company out of California, worth $15.5 million, 135 employees, two shareholders were brothers. And we basically structured that company to basically become tax exempt. And these two business owners sold their shares to the ESOP company, got their $15.5 million. And what we did was we took a portion of it. So let's just take out the 15.5, we did 20% as a senior debt. So basically we took a loan and moved that to having a senior note on the other portion, had some warrants. This company's growing significantly. That $15.5 million over time, 10 years, went to a $24 million total sale on a $15.5 million.
And so the warrants kind of come into play because they're carrying the debt and kind of the risk for carrying the debt then?
Yeah. So an example, let me just take an easy math, like a $20 million company. And we do a 40% finance. That's okay. $8 million.
So you go to a bank and you have to get the financing for that.
Exactly. And that $8 million is going to go directly to the shareholders, business owners.
So it creates that immediate liquidity from getting the bank.
Exactly. And then we're going to take a seller note for $12 million. There's your $20 million. So we're going to pay off that debt over a period of time. And that seller note of $12 million, we can elect to pay ourselves interest on that note. It allows us to. Of the difference between the debt interest and what mezzanine financing would be. So let's just take 4.5%. So if I did a seller note at $12 million, over a 10-year period of time, basically that interest at 4.5 would pay about $2.9 million.
Gotcha.
And that interest is taxable.
Okay.
Okay.
So there is a taxable function here.
Yeah.
But we're getting a lot of tax benefits as well.
Yes. And then the warrants, and then we're going to take warrants, 20% of the value of the company, we're going to do in warrants. And that over a 10-year period at a 5% annual growth, paid him $9.4 million. So his total proceeds on $20 million company was $32 million, which was about 8x EBITDA. So and remember, every company is different, but usually the value they get is more. So the value they're going to get on the sell. So if it's $20 million, $20 million is going to be tax-free. The seller note and the warrants will not be tax-free. Some will be taxed as long-term capital gains. Interest will be taxed as ordinary income tax, the interest on the seller note. But hey, this is income that is being paid to the business owner until he's paid off. So you just transferred it completely different on the balance sheet.
And that's on top of any sort of like salary or anything that he's getting at that point in time?
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, that sounds pretty powerful.
It is when you look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. Right? I mean, well, they don't lie.
You know, I mean, I guess when you wind up looking at it, just having that exit plan that I think most business owners don't necessarily have.
Yeah. And shockingly, I think I told you this before, most business owners, after we meet with them, say, why didn't my financial advisor or my CPA ever tell me about this? I've heard it more than I've heard anything else. So that is why, you know, and actually even visiting with employees after the sale has been done, to see how employees react when they finally figure out what an ESOP is, it can bring tears to people's eyes because they feel they have they're not a number anymore in this company. They're now a beneficial owner over time. And the harder they work and the more profitable this company becomes, the bigger their ESOP retirement plan is.
Okay. You've mentioned some numbers about that before, but give me an example of that. Like, how does that affect on the employee side?
How does it affect? I mean, it's just the morale of now I'm part of this company. I'm not a number anymore. I'm not just some person that's here. I'm going to put my work in and not really get anything out of it. Now they know the harder they work together as a team, the more they make this company profitable every single year, the more they're going to get in their ESOP retirement plan. Yeah. I mean, there was a study done. There was by the Wharton School of Business. So they did a study over 30 years comparing an ESOP to a 401k. Exact same company, exact same growth, just did the comparison. The ESOP retirement plan had 2.5 times more in it than the 401k.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at like a Winco, a cash register employee, 25, 30 years, will have close to $2 million in the retirement plan.
Well,
that's significant.
As opposed to them just putting away their
5%
and maybe it winds up getting matched and
right.
And great that the stock market does well for them.
Exactly. And for a business owner, I mean, it allows them to retain their good employees a lot longer. I mean, people aren't looking for other jobs once, especially when you put investing schedules. So which you're allowed to do. And you can put in different types of sweeteners with warrants and SARs, which we don't need to get into the details of that, but you can give that to your executive team. So they're not going to run off. You could also use it as a recruiting tool. If you need to hire an executive type management person, you can give them some SARs and those can be renewed every 7 years. And you put a vesting schedule 7 years, like, hey, you came with me with a resume that says you can bring X. And if Y happens, here's what you're going to get on top of your salary and benefits.
The quote unquote golden handcuffs of sorts.
Exactly. Exactly. It allows you to do so much more. And when you participate in an ESOP plan.
What other takeaways would you have for anyone, if they're a business owner who's listening to this podcast today, for them as far as like considering an employee stock ownership plan?
I think the takeaway is if you're not a fan of paying taxes and you have incredible value to your employees and you have built this legacy that you want to carry on, the takeaway is worth at least looking at the option of how an ESOP would work for your company and just look at the numbers and share your goals, share your wishes, and see if an ESOP is the right fit. I mean, who wouldn't want to use the government's money to buy them out?
Sounds pretty good.
To a lot of business owners, it sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, but right?
The rules aren't changing. They actually just keep getting better.
Yeah, so for those who would be concerned about it, how long has this been in play?
Since 1974, since ERISA's been around. So just so you know, an ESOP plan, just the other takeaway, we pride ourselves on our reputation with doing over 430 ESOP plans, never had any turned the other way. They've all, knock on wood, have gone as planned to where the IRS isn't auditing heavily on these, or as ERISA, because you have to basically deal with ERISA, IRS, Department of Labor, securities laws, and state laws. That's why attorneys and everyone is involved, and we make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So we pride ourselves on our team and making sure that we do it the right way, and we don't cross any lines.
That's good. That's good. And I mean, it sounds like as a subject matter expert that, someone that we can wind up leaning on for us as we wind up working with our business owners. I mean, certainly advantageous for us to be able to like work with someone like you who can work with our clients as well.
Yes. I mean, to have that as part of your firm, as, as a partnership that, hey, we can come in and help you with the structure. That's what we pride ourselves in. We're basically a referral based only. We don't go after the business owners. They actually get referred to us by the financial professionals and advisors in the field.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for educating everybody about what an employee stock ownership plan is here today. If someone wants to get a hold of you, how could they actually reach you?
Well, you can either reach me by phone, 949-933-7470, or you can email me, mwebb@bta, that's Boy Tom Apple. .us.com, and we can basically set up a call, a Zoom, and go over the ESOP and even do an ESOP 101 for a business owner and basically just go through the process.
Appreciate you spending the time with us here today. And of course, I mean, if you are a business owner and you do have questions about if this may or may not be right for you, you can always reach out to Mike directly or reach out to myself. You can reach me at 858-217-8135 is my direct number, or email me here at the firm. It's Aaron.Wiegman at financialsense.com. Thanks for joining us here today, and we'll see you next time.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.